This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Happy Hump Day Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, which means it's Wednesdays with Denise. I'm here.
And it's good to see you again.
It's good to be seen. It's good to be here with you today, Dave.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, boy, you had the crud.
I had the, what are they, what are the
Latin, was it last Wednesday?
No, I'm. You know what, I'm still, I have a little bit of it. If I'm feeling tired or whatever, the cough will come back. Whatever this thing is, it's just kind of hanging around. It's finally going away. I was told by a coworker that I need to take elderberry, so I've been taking elderberry.
Wow.
And taking my supplements and trying to stay healthy and get some sleep, which wasn't so successful last night, so we'll try again tonight.
You know, the time change kind of really messed me up, too.
You know, and I know that we had some legislation go through the last session in 2019 to keep us on daylight savings time, and I love the effort, but I would rather stay on standard time.
Really?
Yeah, I think this kind of time, I woke up this morning, I was up about 6 o'clock and it was a little bit getting a little bit light, so it's not so dark.
Right.
I would rather stay on standard time. But the time change thing, good gravy. I know everyone always wants to say it's 2019, we should be doing this, that, and the other thing. But it's 2019. Can we get rid of daylight savings time, please?
Yeah.
Do we need it anymore?
Whenever we change the clocks, it just really messes up your internal clock.
Even when you get that extra hour?
It didn't feel like it this time.
Well, I felt like I was like, isn't it lunchtime? And it was only 10:30.
Yeah.
No.
Because your internal clock hadn't changed.
My belly is telling me it's lunchtime, and it's not. It's only 10. It was only 10:30 at the time I was looking at the clock.
You know who doesn't do the time change?
Arizona.
Babies and dogs.
Oh. Let's be more like babies and dogs then.
Right? Our dog, he was up and he was like, hello, how come you're not up yet?
Well, and it's kind of archaic, the reason we have it. I think it started back in the early part of the 20th century, and then there was something about conserving coal. A lot of people think it was for farmers, and I think that's been debunked. It wasn't anything to do with farmers, but regardless of whatever it is, I
think it was for the kids sitting at the bus stops in the morning.
Well, then I would rather stay on standard time then, because if you're up that early, it's going to be a little
bit
lighter.
Darker.
Right. I don't know. I just don't like it. Yeah. I feel like I'm whining now. I'm going to stop whining. But I think it was a representative's post and then Senator Thatcher who put that through. So kudos to them. You know, one way or the other, at this point, I don't care. Let's just pick a time and let's just stand there, people,
right,
and stay in that time.
It's not going to change permanently unless the other states hop in there, too. And
then Congress has to improve.
Congress approves.
We have to get permission.
So many steps to get that done.
This to me seems like a no-brainer. Everyone should decide, do we hate this? Does everybody hate this? Let's get a show of hands. Yeah, we do. Let's just go for it. Let's make it so.
So hopefully it'll happen next time.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. But
a year before we see that?
Potentially, yeah. I think it passed over here. We've just got to wait on the other states. And I think there's...
And then Congress.
Yeah, and I think there's the general consensus among the populace, I think, is just to abolish it, get rid of it. It doesn't serve any purpose anymore. And with technology and everything else, you don't need it. Granted, we don't have to worry about changing all of our clocks like we used to. We have to go in the oven, the microwave, the this and
I
that.
I still had to do that.
For a couple.
Still had to do that. I still found one. Oh, you know what? My office clock hasn't changed
Are you
yet.
Still? See? Ah, my gosh. Oh, the
I can't
angst,
believe it.
The agita.
Yeah. So, on today's show, we have an update on...
We do. Last week, we had a special guest on. We had Mike Evans, who many in our listening audience are familiar with that name. He and his brother kind of spearheaded the Build It Now, the Third Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Mike actually had listened to a program that you and I did when we had our guest from Better Angels PDX, Cynthia O'Brien, and she was on talking about an organization called Better Angels that I have since become a member of, and so has Mike. And so what happened yesterday at Chemeketa, the afternoon, was a Better Angels workshop. And so Mike's going to come on about halfway through the show. He's got another meeting today, but he and I were both there. So we both participated in this. And it was a fascinating workshop. Just to refresh people's memories, basically the point of Better Angels is to, it's to, civil discourse is becoming a unicorn in this country, unfortunately. Right. It seems to be becoming rarer and rarer. And we tend to find a lot of people who are focusing on, I'm going to attack you, Dave, not your ideas. You know, you're going to attack me, Denise, not on my ideas, but me personally. And so we've even come so far where we can't agree to disagree anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's really an effort to bring back civil discourse. And it's a lot like marriage counseling where you're sort of relearning how to speak to each other. You're using I statements, you're using paraphrasing, you're listening with intent instead of, and I know I'm guilty of this many, many times, someone will be talking to me and I am formulating my rebuttal. So I'm only like half or a quarter listening to what they're saying because gosh right. darn it, I've got my rebuttal because I know I'm right. And
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Exactly, right? And you're ready to go zing and then gotcha. So the point of this workshop is really to get people together, and it focuses on reds and blues. And I don't want to dig in too deep into this because Mike's going to fill us in. But my impression of yesterday was it was very well attended, very exciting. It was first Better Angels workshop in Salem. So the very first one. So major kudos to Mike Evans for getting this put together. Cynthia was there and a couple of other moderators that I ended up having lunch with. And it was funny sitting around the lunch table. I was the conservative. Cynthia, I think, would call herself a moderate, and another gentleman, Chip, there, who was a liberal. We had a wonderful lunch together, all of us talking together, sharing our ideas. Probably we don't agree on a lot of things, but we probably agreed on a lot of other things. Mm. And it was very civil. It was very nice. It was wonderful to meet them. And then you go into this this environment where it was decidedly more blue heavy than it was red heavy, but it was, and I hate to use this phrase because it's just overused, but it was a safe space to freely speak about things and then to learn some of these tips and techniques and to connect with people who, what we had in common is that we all want to see civil discourse improve in this country. We're all concerned that the road we're going down is fraught with danger if we do not fix this. You know,
it's basically just learning to talk to each other civilly.
And you have to want to do it. And so many people on both sides of the aisle have dug in heels, and social media has made this so much worse.
You're other.
I can't see you. I don't know anything about you, but I can sit in front of my keyboard and gosh darn it, I can pound out a snarky answer to you and we can go back and forth and I can feel really great about it for about 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it and it's like, did I change my mind? No. Did you?
No.
Did we learn anything?
No.
No. Am I angry and full of agita and just, probably. You know, and so what's the point?
Right.
So really getting back to that person to person and understanding that when we actually sit down together and break bread, like I did yesterday with these two friends, they're friends, that we have much more in common. We see, most of us see the problems. We don't agree on the solutions. Get to that conversation, I mean, I'll take something like guns. I mean, you know, we can all say school shootings are terrible. We never want to see that happen.
Absolutely.
No child should have to go to school in fear of being shot. No parent should have to worry about that. We all agree that that's a bad problem. That is a terrible problem. We also then can look at it. On conservatives sometimes tend to want to look at data, and the data doesn't bear out that it's an epidemic, but you've got an emotional argument on the other side that sees every one of these happen, and it's gut-wrenching, and it's a stab. It's a gut punch.
Sure.
So we've got to be able to look at ways of dealing with this, and blues and reds, conservatives and liberals, look at things differently. We have different approaches to them, but if we continue to vilify each other and ascribe bad motives to each side, we will never come together to try to find some kind of common ground to do whatever it is we can to make sure that the problem that we both identify at least is lessened. We'll probably never stop it. I mean, the heart of man is evil. You can take away every weapon, and throwing air quotes up there, because a gun is a tool. It's
right.
The gun isn't doing anything. It's the person behind it pulling the trigger. But we've gotten so far away from the old, let's just agree to disagree. Shake hands, gentleman agreement. You know, we're not dueling pistols anymore. We just don't agree. So really what this workshop is about, and what this mindset and the mindset behind Better Angels is, to get us back to a place where we can disagree, but not be disagreeable in doing it.
Or maybe get your thoughts out and people get a compromise and work on a solution to the problem.
Yeah. And I think more than anything else, people just want to be heard.
Sure.
And when I'm speaking as a conservative in Oregon, a lot of times you feel you're in the minority, and I know a lot of people who in their workplaces are quiet. They don't speak up. They don't say what they believe for fear of reprisal. You know, the other side, the Democrat is a stronger position in this state because it's more, especially in the I-5 corridor, it's more blue. And so there's a comfort level. And I talk to people, it's like, well, why are you afraid to speak up? I speak up all the time. It's like, your opinion is more of the status quo around here. I'm actually a little bit more of the counterculture now, mm-hmm. because the counterculture is decidedly not liberal Democrat. That is mainstream. You know, some may argue and not agree with that. In my dealings and trips through life around this area, it is more mainstream that a liberal Democrat perspective is one that is viewed as it's more easy to speak about it and not have any fear of reprisal or someone looking at you like, you know, doing a blanket. Well, all you people, if you believe this, you must believe this. And again, it's retraining where you don't do that. You look at each issue. I look at you as an individual, and you and I will talk about something. I want to know why you believe what you believe.
Right.
And I would hope someone talking to me would want to know why I believe what I believe, because we all have life experiences and reasons why we believe what we believe. But if we other each other and we silo each other and we get on opposite sides with our dukes up and we don't talk to each other, first of all, that's not been working for us.
Nope.
And I know it hasn't been working for us. So, you know, taking a different tack, a different approach, really getting kind of back to basics of learning how to talk to each other, not attacking the person. That's basically in a nutshell what it was. Mike will have more. Again, there were a lot of different people there. I want to talk to him a little bit about some of the comments that were made and some of the feedback that he got. So we're going to take a quick break, though. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how the changing demographics and what's happening in some local races, too, because that's interesting. So we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, everybody. What are we talking? Better Angels, civil discourse, the changing demographic, politics on how we approach each other about issues that are important to us.
Yeah, it became really prevalent after the 2016. I never noticed it as much mm-hmm. as I did then.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the next day.
2016 was an interesting year on many levels. It was interesting for me on many levels. Better Angels actually started as a result of that. I mean, the polarization, yeah. I think we've had it. It's been decades in the making. I mean, I remember back when George W. Bush was president and the level of rhetoric was crazy at that time. And, the Code Pink was out and screaming and yelling. I remember being I think Michael Moore had come to Salem for something. And I remember sort of being out there with my little sign, sort of picketing with protest warrior back in the day. That was in 2004.
Wow.
So I've kind of been at this for a while. But yeah, the level now, and we didn't really have social media. Facebook was nowhere near. In 2004, we didn't have that. We still had flip phones.
Right.
I mean, we didn't have, it was a decidedly different digital landscape. And so social media has really changed the way we deal with each other. Somebody asked me if social media was a net positive or a net negative, and I had to really think long and hard on that. That was at my lunch yesterday with my friend and my new friends. And I actually had to come up that for me it was a net negative. I've left Twitter because Twitter is just a pit. I don't like Twitter. I do have a stealth account that I just check the news because I'll check the hashtags or Paul and Orleg and go out there. But, you know, I don't engage like I used to. Twitter used to be fun. Twitter is kind of a scary verse now.
I have one, but I haven't used it.
Yeah. It's good.
I don't even check in.
I do. I have people that I follow. I'm not outing my stealth account.
Facebook is good in the fact that I can stay in touch with family and friends.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
Yes.
But when it gets to the point of political stuff, that can be the negative for that.
I used to be a lot more engaged on a political level out there, and I find that I'm just not. Because for one, it tends to be an echo chamber. I think I have close to 5,000 Facebook friends. I interact with not 5,000 people, certainly.
Sure.
But we're all kind of aligned politically, ideologically. So, you know, we're kind of all preaching to the choir, and that's nice, and that's great. Some of the memes are great. I just don't know how effective a tool. So as a net positive,
it's keeping in touch.
It's just keeping in touch. I keep in touch. I went to school in New Hampshire and I keep in touch with my old New Hampshire friends a little bit too. So social media has definitely changed the dynamic.
Well, the great part about Facebook though is if you can't agree and they just don't, and it's just too much, unfriend.
Yeah.
Block. You know, that happened to a lot of, I lost a lot of people that I thought were friends.
In 2016?
Well, yeah, and recently too, just because, you know, they don't like either my car posts or my pet posts or things like that. I mean,
those are sort of innocent.
But then there, you know, there'll be one that I'll forward about a political post of something and say, "Hey, this is pretty funny." And lo and behold, what happened to that friend?
The whole triggered, I'm offended.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry, because being offended is a choice that you make.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not my responsibility if you're offended by something
you know,
I say. You're choosing to be offended by something I say.
If you're offended by my post, keep scrolling.
Keep scrolling.
Don't comment.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the candidates, because we have elections coming up.
Well, right. And I know
and we talked about
this
a little
bit. And you and Brent have been talking about a lot of local races, and you know, Salem City Council's in for a big turnover. All the odd wards are up.
Right.
Ward 3 has got someone who has stepped, because Councilor Nanke is not running again. There's a gentleman who has stepped up for that. Same thing with Wards 5 and Ward 7. I don't believe anyone has stepped up for Ward 1. That's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to a different level. You've got my neck of the woods, HD 19 and Senate District 10. And so there's been some shakeups in that, the beloved Senator Jackie Winters passed away earlier this year.
Yeah.
So that opened up that seat. So again, we've talked about this too. The PCP spring into action for it because it was a Republican held seat. So the PCPs came in and there was a process that we go through. And former HD Representative 19 Denise Bowles was appointed to that seat. So she's
correct.
Now sitting in that seat. And then the same process went through to fill her seat. And so HD 19 Representative right now is Raquel Moore Green. Denise Bowles is running for re-election, as is Raquel Moore Green. Denise had a challenger in Deb Patterson, who is running on the Democrat side. But a new challenger has stepped up just, I think, days ago. And Ken J. Harmon Johnson, has filed for the seat. So there's going to be a primary race on the Democrat side between Patterson and Harmon Johnson. Harmon Johnson is a former campaign staffer for John Kitzhaber, who left during the whole Cynthia Hayes, and I think she had some issues. She, I believe, is president and CEO of the Urban League up in Portland. She
yes.
lives in South Salem, but she works in Portland. She is, I find her a fascinating candidate. I think it's going to be interesting to watch that race. I don't necessarily really know her politics. I'm assuming running as a Democrat. Deb Patterson is out, as a progressive, runs under the progressive banner. Not sure about Harmon Jones. But then on the other side, but that's going to be a fascinating race. So those two women have to go through a primary to then who's going to see. I actually think Harmon Johnson, if she makes it through the primary, that's a formidable candidate. So that SD10 race becomes very, very competitive. It'll probably become very, very expensive. And what you're seeing is the same thing in HD 19. A very progressive, I would say, she likens herself on her own webpage, a Bernie Sanders, AOC, FDR type, sane in all caps, and progressive platform. This woman is an artist. She's a younger woman. I don't know too much about her, but I want to go. What I want to say is that, you know, it used to be progressivism, real hard leftism was sort of couched. There was a mask. It wasn't fully on display because it but when you see the likes of, you know, the Squad and AOC and, some of the other, I forget the names off the top of my head.
Right.
Where they're really coming out and sort of the mask is off and it's, you know, flying the progressive flag out here. This woman who is running for HD 19, I'm just going to go down her own platform here. Healthcare is a human right. All caps. She likes all caps. No exceptions. Guaranteed free college for all Oregonians. No exceptions. Full unconditional civil rights protection for all Oregonians. No exceptions. Protection of Oregon's sacred environment without compromise. There is, and it kind of goes through the litany of your standard progressive talking points. The last one on her list before her mission statement is removing weapons of war from our streets permanently. Now, what does that say to you, Dave?
Sounds like take away everyone's guns.
Right. Right. So you've got, you know, your pretty standard laundry list, unconditional supports for women's right to control their bodies, no compromise, full-throated support in the spirit and implementation of the Green New Deal initiatives. So this woman, Sarah Landstrom, is not hiding who she is. So that's good.
Right.
I'm glad that it's out there. We know who she is. So there's very Raquel Moore Green is a pro-life, a constitutional conservative. She is my representative. It really comes down to we can't be doing on the Republican side what has been done in the past, which is sort of nitpicking on platform issues. And it really needs to be, you know, we need to get behind our candidates because there's a full-throated opposition now with candidates that are coming out and stating boldly who they are. And given the demographics and what we're seeing even at a national level, that message resonates. We can't not take it seriously. We have to be very serious about putting up a full on, you know, we're in this case, we're defending these two seats, and we need to defend these two women and make sure that they hold them. The demographics in these districts have changed over the years. And when Senator Winters took the seat, I believe in 2002, it was decidedly more Republican. That has now shifted, so that the numbers have shifted in the favor of the Democrats. But the non-affiliated voters, again, that number is growing as well, as we're seeing everywhere. So these two races, again, are going to be fascinating to watch. I'm very curious about this candidate in HD19. I've never heard of her. Like I said, I believe she's an artist. To see who's backing her, what kind of a campaign she runs, what kind of money is going to be behind this campaign. These are both going to be very expensive races. They've got compelling challengers. And so it'll be, you know, from my perspective as a constituent in both these districts, it's in my best interest, in my opinion, to keep Denise in her seat and to keep Raquel in her seat. So yeah. I personally will be doing everything I can to make sure that happens. And I would encourage people that are of like mind to me, are Republicans, conservatives. Now is the time to step up and start doing what you can to help these candidates.
You think it's going to get really, really ugly?
I don't know if it's going to get ugly per se, but it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be, they're going to be hard fought. They're not cakewalk races. These two districts have been on the radar for a while. Deb Patterson ran against Jackie Winters on the last cycle, and she did pretty well. She didn't win, but she didn't. It was not a poor showing.
Right.
So, and again, when you look at the shift in demographics, you've got a more boldness on the part of leftist progressive candidates to be exactly who they are and to show who they are. Tells you that there's a certain confidence level in the way they're going to be running their races. And again, you've got an entire demographic, a younger skewed demographic, where this message resonates. Free stuff resonates with a lot of people. And that's what this platform is all about, free stuff.
Right.
Free college, free everything, free healthcare, human right. I mean, it's the standard.
But they don't
basically
say,
the standard boilerplate playbook for a progressive candidate.
But they don't say how they're going to pay for it.
No, and they never do, because right. At that point, I mean, really, this progressivism, as far as I'm concerned, is the politics of envy and greed.
Right.
I just want what the other guy has. And so that message tends to resonate, unfortunately.
What I hear when you say expensive race, ugly. That's what I hear. They're going to start mudslinging each other. That's what I hear.
I hope not. Hopefully we'll find our better angels.
I mean,
I'd like to maybe, you know, offer up better angels for these candidates. If we want to have debates, do a better angel style, we'll reach out.
Speaking of that, we'll do that next.
Yeah, I think Mike is in the house. And so we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back and talk more about the Better Angels workshop that he and I were both at. But right now you were listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYK, and Salem is listening.
Now back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Horn, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Welcome back.
Mike Evans is in the house.
He is.
Good to be back.
So long ago.
I've been seeing you everywhere, Mike.
Gosh. You got to stop meeting this way.
I know. So, yeah, so we talked about on the first part of the show that Mike and I were together yesterday at a Better Angels workshop. Mike, you were the spearhead. You were the guy behind this. You kind of put it all together. So talk to us a little bit about what that process was, and then let's dig into what yesterday looked like.
Yeah. So, you know, it's great to work at a great place like Chemeketa.
Yeah.
Really, Chemeketa is very interested in serving the community and seeing efforts like this happen. So it was easy to make that happen
nice.
At Chemeketa,
so
which
glad.
Was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't take much to actually make this happen. I became an organizer for Better Angels when I heard about it on your show, and then connected with Cynthia. And really, it took a little bit of, you know, putting something up on a Eventbrite site,
right,
and sending out some emails with, you know, links for people to sign up. And then internally at Chemeketa, advertising it to all of the staff and students. And we got a whole bunch of staff to come, which was really a great thing. It was really fun to be in that room yesterday and to feel the passion that people actually had for bringing it together. And I think, you know, you were observing it was probably a third reds and two thirds blues. And I thought it was 100% people who cared about being good to each other. People who wanted to hear from each other. And I think that's the vast majority of people. I think that the truth is that the vast majority of us really do care about this country.
Mm-hmm.
We care about our families. We want this to be a good place. We see things differently, but that doesn't mean we need to look at people who have a different perspective as bad people.
I really had a sense of a lot of goodwill in the room.
There was.
There really was a lot of goodwill. And I also really was encouraged to see, number one, I saw a lot of name tags that there were staff people there. There were a lot of students there.
There were
a lot of young people there. Ethnically, it was very mixed.
Very.
It was a fascinating crowd.
Yeah, it was. It was quite a, you know, in higher ed, we like to talk about diversity a lot. Right? And it was diverse.
It was very diverse.
There was a lot of different sorts of people from different backgrounds. And that's really a good thing. We want, you know, I think Better Angels really should represent everybody, right? It should be made up of people from across the ideological perspective, and also racial and ethnic and, you know, age and every, you know, every demographic.
And then that was, again, it was mixed. There was a lot of gray hair there, mine included.
Mine just left. So I don't worry about mine being gray. It just leaves.
But the overarching feeling that I got from the whole thing was goodwill and kind of going around the room. It was interesting when we started what the expectations were.
Yeah.
So you want to talk a little bit about some of the expectations that they heard, why people were there?
Well, I think, you know, some people were a little nervous, you know, like, oh my gosh, what am I getting into? You know, am I going to be asked to say things about my, you know, my beliefs that then I'm going to be judged for? And, you know, because that's kind of the, right now it's so polarized that people tend to be afraid to say what they think. And you're afraid that you're going to be in a situation where all of a sudden you're getting ganged up on by people that, you know, that call you names, that label you a bad person and whatever label they attach. You know,
we were talking about that earlier too, where, you know, the sort of the conventional mainstream now is more liberal, especially in this, you know, the I-5 corridor.
Yeah.
So being a conservative is actually being a little bit of counterculture.
Yeah.
And in a workplace, when you're counterculture, you tend to not say anything.
Right.
It's easier. It's safer. And I got a sense after people finally warmed up and realized that this was literally a safe space.
Yep.
That the whole room just kind of relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is meant to be non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the whole Better Angels thing is not about judging each other's perspective, but understanding.
Yeah.
And so it worked great. We had within 2.5 hours, people that started out kind of nervous and more reserved. You know, it was a little harder at the beginning for people to volunteer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
By the end, literally every person in the room got to give their takeaway. You know, what did you get out of this experience? And every person that spoke had something positive to say about, you know, something that they had learned or an attitude that had kind of, you know, shifted for them a little bit. I know I walked out hopeful. I walked in a little nervous because I was coordinating, you know, inviting people and hoping it was going to go well. But I walked out really feeling hopeful because we had, you know, 50 plus people in that room who really all participated and came out, and it was clear people want the same thing. They want life to be good for them, for their families, mm-hmm. right? That's we all are there. And people were jumping in to try to help that be reality, right? That's what this is about, is trying to make that happen, help that happen, instead of allowing all of the forces that want to pull us apart to be successful.
Yeah. I thought the moderators, the way that it was broken up with the three, that were very effective, the training. And I know you're going through training now to be a moderator.
Yep.
The way that the workshop was structured, the second gentleman,
Terry.
He kind of had the bulk of it.
Yeah.
And he was a very engaging speaker, and a lot of examples and anecdotes and things like that that really mm-hmm. resonated. One of the things I thought was funny was when they did break the room up into reds and blues.
Yep.
I had preconceived notions about who I thought was, and I wondered, I'm sure everybody else did. And it was interesting going, oh, that guy's a blue, or oh, she's a red.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that whole, you know, as far as what our own preconceived notions are, what we'll, just based on our looks.
Right.
Was
we do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is not intentional, but it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you see people, they look this, you think, yeah, that they probably fit that category.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And then nope. Just the opposite.
I'm wrong, like usual.
And that's okay. Actually, a former coworker of mine was there too. And he was on the opposite side.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get along and you work. And again, it's not. And I'm going to rephrase that, the opposite side, because he was just on the blue side.
Yeah.
So obviously I was on the red side.
Yep.
One of the things you said, going around the room as well. And did you get any feedback after the class? I know you guys kind of hung around. Did people stick around and want to talk?
A few people stuck around to talk. And the feedback was positive across the board.
Mm-hmm.
People were thrilled that they had the opportunity. It did help them feel like, yeah, it is possible for me to talk to people from the other side, which, you know, that's been a real challenge. And the more you tap into media, the worse that seems to be, right? Because you keep getting told how bad the other people are. And that's part of what I think we're trying to work against, is this whole, you know, just buying into what you're being fed by media that, you know, all of us tend to do this. We tend to go into our own bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
We surround ourselves with people that kind of think like us and then
agree with us.
Yeah. And then, you know, if we only select that kind of, what we hear is people giving us stereotypes of the other side.
Yeah.
We're not actually talking to people that think differently from us. And so we end up making bad judgments about people based on our stereotypes, mm-hmm. instead of actually getting to know them.
And ascribing motives that we really have no idea whether they hold
those or not. And we don't like it when they do it towards us.
Right.
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 Like I fall into the more conservative camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't like being a racist if I don't agree with something that somebody has said.
Right.
That's offensive.
It is offensive.
Right? Because it's simply not true.
And it's not true.
It is not true.
Right.
And it doesn't feel good if you're on the other side to have somebody dismiss you based on some stereotype either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all sort of do it to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what this work is about, is trying to help people understand that, okay, all of us can be doing that, and we can choose also not to do that.
And it's hard, though.
Hard.
It's hard. And so I want to dig in a little bit about what the nuts and bolts of it were and what we did, because we didn't necessarily go opposites. We went same, and it was still hard. So we're going to take a quick break and be back on the other side with Mike Evans talking about our Better Angels workshop. And you're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYK, and Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, everybody. We have been talking with Mike Evans about the Better Angels workshop that we were both at Chemeketa. And so before we took our break, you know, we were let's dig a little bit about what it looked like, because we were not red and blue yesterday. It was red, red, blue, blue, and it was still hard.
Oh, it's hard. This whole talking and listening.
Yeah.
Listening is really, obviously, that's the hardest part, right?
It's really hard.
Some of us that, you know, people will jump on the radio, probably don't have a real hard time talking. But listening, oh my gosh, you think you're doing it, and what you find out is, well, you're not.
No.
Really, right. You heard the first half a sentence, and then you started off on your own train of thought about how you're going to reply.
Uh-huh.
And man, that's hard.
Yeah.
So what we talked about there was that's real for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a bad habit that we pretty much all have.
Yes.
And it's also something that we can get better at. So what we're, you know, Better Angels, that skills workshop is really about giving people an opportunity to start practicing things that we already know.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you should use I statements. Mm-hmm. We, you know, but we don't do it. So it's really giving people that opportunity. How do you start practicing that?
Yeah, because you have to practice, and some time has to go into break any habit.
Yeah.
Quitting smoking, you know, dieting, exercising, anything. Establishing a new habit takes time.
It does. And so one of the things I want to do, I mean, it's a good opportunity. I want to invite people to join Better Angels. It's a great organization. It's nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Our Oregon chapter is growing here.
Yep.
We, you know, had 50 people there yesterday, and we want to get a lot more people involved in being part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really a secular peacemaking kind of a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, it's effective. I saw it yesterday, just first time I got to witness people really experiencing it and starting to buy in and go, yeah, I can do this. So I want people to join. Go, if you can just go on, you know, search for,
I think it's better-angels.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And jump on there and you can join.
So is it expensive?
Or at least, it's really expensive. I mean, it's $12 a year.
A year.
So, you know, if you can, if you can't come up with it, we'll help you find a way.
A buck a month.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I also take away from this is, you know, it really starts with me.
Yeah.
It's not about changing other people. It's really about changing me and what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be part of the problem.
Yeah.
I really want to be part of helping. So one of the things that I found on the Better Angels site was this really well thought out social media pledge.
Oh, okay. Because that's where a lot of the angst and agita is.
Boy,
social media.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody who's on social media who hasn't been there, where you have these awful interactions, right? Well, you can take control of your own part, right? You can't control everybody else, but you can certainly control what you do on there. So they ask, you know, they've got like five things. I'll post with a goal of clarifying my point of view and not attacking the other side. Well, that sounds really easy, but sometimes it's actually really easy to just attack the other side. You see something that's posted that somebody else, you know, has forwarded and you agree with it, and you just forward it with, you know, your own snarky little comment about how stupid that idea is that somebody else said.
There was a one of the gentlemen that was in the class, he was on the blue side. So even in talking one-on-one with someone who's like-minded, when an issue came up, he could feel his blood pressure rising.
Oh, yeah.
He could feel himself getting flushed. The heart rate goes up. These issues are important to us. We tend to rise up. The hackles rise up.
Oh,
so
just
it's
instantly. Snapping doesn't work on the air. Sorry. So next one, I'll be civil and respectful, right? Well, would you use the tone that you use on social media, and I'm asking this of myself,
mm-hmm.
in a face-to-face conversation?
No.
I'm guilty of saying things on social media in a tone that I would not say to someone's face.
As am I,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people out there are. At least I've seen a lot of it.
And the other thing is there is no tone of voice on social media.
Right.
So people are going to imply and impart a tone on you,
absolutely.
Whether it's there or not.
I won't use blanket statements or overgeneralizations.
You people,
you
always.
Oh, that, you know, that's so hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say it's very easy to do because we do it by nature. We, you know, ascribe all kinds of bad things to people that disagree with us. And I won't try to convert people to my side. I'll encourage understanding and learning.
That's a big one.
Yep. A lot of us, and again, I'll say I'm guilty of trying to convince people to think what I think, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm 0 for about 1,000 right now on trying to convert people to think what I think.
Yeah.
On social media. Mm-hmm. I've had some luck in person. Because you can see people,
yes,
and, you know, identify with them as people rather than just, you know, hammering some point. And last thing, I'll keep an open mind. I think humility is a big thing. Being able to say, I probably don't have all truth, mm-hmm, you know, perfectly figured out, mm-hmm, from my side, and I'm going to at least, you know, take in information, and maybe I can change my mind about something. It's not impossible.
And be open to being wrong?
I could be. I've heard before that I was wrong.
That happens a lot.
Those are great, and they're really words to live by. And it's like, if we could clean up our social media habits, that might go a long way, because, like, you, yep, know, social media is good and bad. I tend to see it. It's, mm-hmm, more tipping over into negative for,
yeah,
me, but I've also withdrawn a lot from it. I'm not as active as I used to be. My life is saner. It's happier, but
I'm with you.
Yeah. Because you're really not, has your mind, my mind has never been changed by,
nope,
an angry keyboard warrior back and forth on a post on social media.
Absolutely.
Never.
Not.
In fact, it's made me more dig in.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the same for the other side. It just makes you more dig in.
Because, yeah,
it gets mean and nasty. And again, you're not seeing the other person as a human being. You can other people that way. And that's a dangerous road to go down. We need to get,
absolutely,
off that. There's an off ramp here.
So here's what I want to do. I want to invite people, if you're interested in helping, you know, joining this, being part of the solution, learning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two more workshops coming up at Chemeketa. We've got on November 23rd, so it's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We have another one of the skills workshops.
Okay.
So it's a 2.5 hour. It's from 10 a.m. to 12:30. Free. Come. Now, before you just come, you need to,
yeah,
sign up.
Yeah.
So I've got if you contact me, mike.evans@chemeketa.edu.
We'll link up to that in show notes.
Yep.
Okay.
Then you can get a ticket to be part of that. And then we're putting on the first, what we call red-blue workshop, which is really a fascinating thing. You get to spend a whole day listening and talking with people from the other side.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. And this one's December 7th from 10 a.m. till 5.
And this is the one where it's even numbers red, even number blue, and
exactly,
you're going to be practicing those skills with someone who is on the opposite side of the spectrum of you.
Yes. And if you're interested in that, again, contact me and I will get you signed up for that.
That's great stuff. I'm hoping that there's a lot of interest in that. And especially the one on the 23rd, because that's, again,
yeah,
it's a minimal investment of time. If you've had any inkling that you have a sense that this is a problem as well, that we need to do something to fix it, and if this resonates with you, I mean, really reach out. I can't. It was 2.5 hours really well spent.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for putting it together, Mike, and for continuing to spearhead this. Dave, I hope maybe we'll see you at one of those. I know you're a keyboard warrior. We need.
I have a lot of friends that I have discovered that are more on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've been friends for a long,
yeah,
long time. So I see them as humans and they see me as a human.
Right, and you can agree to disagree.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening today. You've been listening to
Wednesdays with Denise.
The music threw me. Thanks, everybody.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.